We're going through a series of senses for our visitors. If you do not know, we have covered the sense of sight, hearing, we've gone through touch, and we're going through taste. Today and next week, continuing on taste. Chris will bring another dimension of taste next week. And this Wednesday, Pastor Edward, Penny and Chiwen will arrive from 3 weeks away in Brisbane, and we break fast on Wednesday. Okay? And on the same day in the morning, Ashlyn and Natalie will be leaving for Sarawak for a seminary project. They'll be conducting dance workshop for the teachers there. So it's going to be a fantastic time for my two girls because it's their first time officially flying alone without parents. Right. My mom got a bit confused last night. She said, alone? Alone only? Huh? Alone? Yes. No parents this time. And we went on to check Air Asia. Yeah, they are legal age. They are of legal age to fly with Air Asia without adult supervision. So do continue to pray for the different groups of people. I'm excited, and I hope that you are excited with the Word of God, because the Word of God is manna. And every time I speak, I ask God for fresh manna, that it will not be what I'm so clever to present to you, but it will be food from heaven that is freshly prepared just for you. And every family have different liking, different style of cooking, different taste, right? But in GCC family, we want to cultivate a healthy taste for the Word of God. And I hope that you're as excited as I am. And I'm going to stare at a few people today. Right. So the very familiar verse would be Psalm 34 verse 8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." And you think, how am I going to taste God? I heard somebody talking last week and say that God tastes or smell. Well, I'm not covering smell yet. Like fresh buns. She must be totally hungry last week because she's fasting. Now that that's Psalm 34 verse 8. It's a very familiar verse. We quote it, we declare it, we talk about it. But seriously, how many of us say that we truly can testify the reality of Psalm 34 verse 8 together with the psalmist to say that I've tasted and I've seen the Lord's goodness in my life? Because actually, after that portion, it says, "Blessed are those who take refuge in God." So in order for you to taste and see that the Lord is good, you need to run to God. You need to make Him your refuge before you can taste. Amen? Amen? Likewise, if my family wants to have good taste, they have to come home to home-cooked food. Right? You gotta be a limb. My children get sick. This Malaysia is very hard to be healthy because we have two delicious food around. And don't you love hawker's food here? We love hawker's food. But my children get sick of hawker's food. And out of four kids, one in particular do not like hawker's food. So you always see her packing her own food. And everybody say, "Hiyo, are you not Malaysian? You don't like char kway teow, you don't like Hokkien mee, you don't like kway teow tung." The most she will eat is herbal chicken soup noodles or fish bihun, tofu. That's right, tofu. That's about all she eat. So you need to come home. You need to come home into God's house to taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 119 verse 103. I'm going to skip one first, Kat. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How many of us love honey? And I'm talking about pure, raw, wild honey, not processed honey. If you do not like honey, you got to try wild honey. Those harvested right from the jungle, they are fabulous. They are awesome. But if honey that you rear the bees and all that, that's a different breed. Now, but there's so many breeds. But I'm talking about the raw, pure, wild honey. We love wild honey. And we normally go to Cameron Highlands to get wild honey. A trusted person that goes into the jungle just to harvest from the jungle. So every batch looks different. Every batch have different color. Because it all depends on which tree. Right? So it is said in the Bible that God's word tastes sweeter than honey. So if honey is good, it's not just tastes good, but it is good. It has many benefits, which I won't go through. If you remember those who were with us in the last premise in Kapal Singh, when I did the roof series, we did honey, we did bitter gourd. Just not too long ago, we did bread with honey. Remember? So I won't go through that already. Now, 1 Peter 2, 1, 2, 3. Let's read that. I'll read together with you so that we don't get confused with my version. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, like newborn babies. Let me reiterate. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Pure meaning to say original. No added stuff. The formula milk out there tell you that this is fortified with all the vitamins, DHA, EPA for the brain development of your babies. It's nothing compared to the human milk. But here it says crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And you have heard Pastor Ed, and I always tell the young people, even some old people, come on, grow up. Grow up. Don't get offended by the little things. Don't get mad over little things. Come on, grow up in the Lord. Verse 3 says, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That the Lord is good. Hebrews 6:5 says, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age? Who has tasted the goodness of the word of God? You can't take the word of God out from God, right? If you want to know God, you must know his word. Amen? And so that's why there will be interchangeably in the verses that you will read in scripture. When you taste God, it's also meaning you taste the word of God. And in order to taste the word of God, we already talked about it, we need to read the word of God. How else? Now, Luke, this is the longest passage that we'll run through. Luke chapter 14, 14 to 24, talks about the parable of the great banquet. And I'm going to ask someone, because I have a bit of dry throat today, I'm going to ask a strong voice to read to us Luke chapter 14. Who think you have a strong voice? Do you know your voice is powerful? I don't have a strong voice in a house.
But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.
Now here is an invitation to come for a banquet. And you know that banquet is not a banquet unless there is a huge spread of food, especially in the ground of Malaysia, right? Every culture in Malaysia eats all the time, especially Penang Chinese. So a banquet has to be a whole huge spread. But we're just going to have a little glimpse of a banquet today, and I'm going to have a banquet here. Come, guys, help me. Jason walked in and said, is that pameran? Pameran means exhibition. How many of you love the colors on the table? Not asking you to lie. You can do your confession. JC tagged me today, the pit, on Facebook. Go read my comment. There is an invitation to come to the banquet. And today there is an invitation from God that you would come to his table of banquet, to a spiritual feast. And this is what the Lord impressed upon my heart, to bring you an object lesson, but at the same time, it has been prayed over for the anointing that you will encounter God as you come to the feast. Amen. Ini bukan pameran sahaja. So you can partake of it. So I will give you some time to come to the banquet table and pick anything you like. Now, just house... Pen Hop has a sign that says no eating here. And so I'm going to specially ask, because I know this is what God wants to do, I'm going to specially ask that you be very careful not to drop anything. If you do, please be courteous enough to pick it up. Either you pick it up and eat it, or pick it up and throw away. It's up to you. But make sure you don't leave crumbs, peels behind. Is that okay? And I have more ideas, but because we don't want to dirty the place, I have eliminated all fluids like honey and water, all fluids and juicy stuff. But you can pick anything you want. Everything has been washed with vegetable liquid or detergent. So all chemicals are being rubbed off. Thank you to Natalie and Crystalline. And wipe dry, so everything is edible and clean, and so you can pick anything to eat as long as you don't dirty the place, okay? And there are some oils here, and this is pure essential oils, which, yes, you can consume at the same time. But because you do not know how to consume, then I won't go into the elaboration, but I want you to know that there is oil here, so if you want to just smell how this frankincense, these are all pure oils. These are pure myrrh and frankincense, and they're very expensive. These are Bible oils, so you can sniff it, but please don't put your diseased nose too close, because I use this to treat myself, okay? So smell it. If you want to have a go and feel it, you can just slowly drop it out on your palm and rub it and put it on your the back of your neck or wherever that you need some touch, right? So come and feast. You will notice that everything that's laid on the table is original, meaning to say is not man-made except Haribo gummy bears. The reason I put gummy bears there is because I couldn't get what I wanted to. That is honey stick. So I couldn't get honey stick, but I do not want to pour honey out. So honey stick will be the best. So I couldn't get that. So I replaced with, reluctantly, Haribo, because that is the closest sweet stuff. Come, no need to paisei. This is one of those days. No need to paisei. Just take, okay? The Haribo gummy bears actually represent the honey stick that I wanted to put in, and because it's fruit, it's 65% fruit juice. I'm so glad that y'all look like you enjoy the banquet, except I couldn't see Jason's face, huh? No, God always teach us from a very natural perspective. And why I put a feast here, this is basically what we eat at home. And through the years, God has taught us in the journey of living according to Romans 12, because everything we do is a worship to God. We are progressively moving towards as natural as possible. So in the last week, 2 weeks plus of fasting, we did not go out and eat at all. So basically, we're just eating everything on the table here. So this is what's from my fridge. And some of you say, because you're meat lovers, huh? You want to debate with me, okay? You want to debate all you want. Go back to science and go back to medicine and go back to the Word of God. The best is still the original. So anything, if you want to eat meat, if anything that comes from the field, from the field to the fork, without being processed, then it is okay to eat. Meaning to say, if you want to eat chicken, you have to rear your own chicken. No injection. Slaughter that chicken. Cook it and put it on your fork. None of us in Penang Island can do that, right? Don't talk about other kind of meat. So there is no need to debate what is good. If you want what is good, from the field to the fork, that is good. So you can say, hey, vegetables don't got chemical, unless you buy organic. So we don't have money to buy organic. So what we've been doing is using a vegetable wash or essential oils, if you want to take off all the wax and chemical and then re-rinse it and then eat it fresh. So it's a progressive lifestyle for us to feast what God has prepared for us. And like I say, anything you put on your plate, as many colors you have on your plate, that is the most healthiest meal. So if you look at your kuay tiao teng, it's only white and a miserable few pieces of green. You look at your char kuay tiao, it's brown. You look at Hokkien Mee, it's red. And it's just chili. So as many colors on your plate, that is a healthy meal. If you have five colors on your plate, five kinds of vegetables, or five kinds of fruits of different colors, you complete all your nutrition that you need. Balance. It's that easy. And that's why in the Bible, Daniel and his friends choose to be undefiled. It was an intentional, deliberate choice that they will eat vegetables and water only and say, test us. And what did the Bible say? They were the cleverest, the smartest, the most intelligent, the fittest in all aspects. You say, Allah, there's Daniel, come on, Pastor Selena. I tell you, I've observed in my own circle of friends. We have a British family who used to be in our homeschooling group. They don't eat nonsense like us Malaysian. they are vegan, or American says vegan. We're always fighting vegan, vegan. So Malaysia is British, but we're Americanized. And I tell you, their kids are fitter than any kids I've seen. They do 3-4 sports in one day, and they don't fall sick. In the 2 years I know them here, I rarely hear they are sick, and they are so fit. They were in floorball as well, and they are good in every sport. They are so fit, and they are so lean, and all they eat is vegetables and soy. And some of you like, cannot lah, no meat, I see ya. So this is a feast. This is a feast, and I want us to draw some lesson from this object lesson. It's colorful. What God invites us into His feast, into His presence at the table, is always pleasing to the eye. And raw, original, unedited stuff always energizes. If you don't believe me, if you want to take from the scientific perspective, if you take vegetable, a cooked vegetable, and a non-cooked vegetable, and then you go and do your frequency test and all that, the energy that comes out from fresh raw vegetable is always higher than a cooked one. Simply because the phytochemicals and enzymes in raw vegetable and fruits are all destroyed through heat. So you can say, I steam, there's no oil added. True, you may not have oil, but all the good stuff is gone through heat. Are you with me? And that's why raw vegetable and fruits are excellent healing food. These are healing food, and I totally buy into it, because you know that Pastor Ed's leg suffered for a long time, the wound he got from missions trip, and 5 doctors couldn't help him. But eventually one Christian doctor says, you take healing food. So his prescription is all vegetable and fruit throughout the day, and water, coconut oil, flaxseed oil. That's it. 5 doctors couldn't help him. The final one who went back to the scripture and says, you give thanks because every time you eat, you got to remember that this comes from God. Nobody made this. God. Sunshine came from God. Water came from God. Nobody can do unless you clone, And in 1 week, his wound healed. And I saw the color of his face change. The table represents our experiences. Some are sour, some are sweet, some are bitter, some are bland, some are plain. And I know who comes first for the sweet stuff, because we all want sweet experiences in life, right? Who doesn't want sweet experiences? But unfortunately, it's a package. Life is a package. You have sour, you have bitter, you have bland. Our days cannot be all the way sweet. It is said that we must have enough bitterness to understand what is the sweetness of life. If not, where? How do you even compare? But interestingly, this paria or bitter gourd, I tasted, and a friend there took the chunk of it. I'm so proud of you, because a lot of Malaysians don't even eat that. And she ate it raw for the first time, and she said, this is so good. I feel so healthy. And you are right, because bitter gourd, now when it's fried, stir-fried with egg, it's superb. But I've learned to eat it raw these days, and this one is pretty... It's not bitter, right? It's just aftertaste, but it's so good. This prevents a lot of illnesses like diabetes and a lot of health problems. So people actually put this into their morning juice. Add bitter gourd into your morning juice. Some of you are squinting your eyes at me. Y'all don't believe me, right? You try juicing for a month and see whether it does anything to your health. That's what my mom is on. Raw food, vegetable, and juices. That is God in the experience. And in our life, God has to take us through different experiences before we can taste and see that the Lord is good. I saw you. The first thing you grabbed was Haribo gummy bears. Processed stuff. I don't want, don't eat processed stuff now with GST. Processed stuff got GST. You should boycott processed stuff. The thing about modern people, we crave for processed food. We crave for cooked food and added oil and seasoning. Every Malaysian food that's good is deep fried. Right? Almost all. It's very hard to stay healthy if you don't eat home-cooked food. If you eat out every day, which most family does, I don't know. How do you even stay healthy? How do you even pick as many colors as you want? Right? So this table, I hope that it will invite you to an encounter with God, because God not only allows His church to see Him, and we talk about sight, but He takes us through tailor-made experiences to taste Him. And knowing God cannot be confined to just mere words, right? If I say JC is a good guy, do you believe? You can choose to believe me, but you don't know really if he's a good guy unless you have an experience with JC. But truly, he's a good guy. Experience allow us to exercise the sense of taste. And taste is internal. We have been talking a lot about sight, about hearing. We can see God, we can hear God, but hardly we talk about, hey, let's taste God. Right? In our service, we always say, we want to see you, God. We want to see you. We want to hear you. We want to encounter you. But we don't say, God, we want to taste you, right? Because some of you are like, how does God taste like? Huh? Like honey. Last week, you're disgusted, right? Because I put saliva on my eye. Seeing is external, but tasting is internal. We can see. We can see God today, but yet not perceive. Yes? We can see, but yet not perceive. Are you with me? Because Isaiah 43 says what? Do you not perceive it? Because we can see, but tak register kat sini. We see, but it's not internalized. We may see, but not necessarily understand the depth of the goodness of God. Tasting gives us that real feel, right? A real feel. What is bitter gourd? Now you can go back and tell people what's bitter gourd. Malay word, learn another one besides roti, that's peria, P-E-R-I-A. Yes. So now you can tell people the real feel of bitter gourd. And it's cheap stuff. That one whole bitter gourd is only one something ringgit. So what? 40 cents for you, less than 40 cents for you. It's a good, good meal. The one bitter gourd, a meal, that's it. It is a complete, when you talk about taste, it's a complete experience of the knowing, of the hearing, of the seeing. The tasting becomes a reality of all that. Enjoyment and fulfillment. It completes it. You see, you hear it's good, you know it's good, but when you eat it, you get the real feel because it goes in through your taste bud. Yes? Now, I give you an illustration. When we go around supermarkets, when my children were younger, much younger, they loved to go to the supermarkets with my parents because they always go after dinner, like 8 p.m. And I know in America you may be sleeping, but not in Malaysia. And so that's when food testing is out, especially Saturday and Sunday. Every lane you walk to, there is some form of food testing. Yes? You enjoy that? Well, you're so... If you want to come and eat, refresh yourself, oranges, please come and take, okay? And so, is to... Why do they do that? The food testing is to hopefully arouse our taste bud to complete the experience that the advertisement has shown to us, what we see and we hear the commercial, but now they're giving it to you so that you taste and it complete your experience so that you can buy that product. Right or not? How many people of you taste a bit and then you're paisei, right? Paisei means a bit, feel bad, like shy. You know, you taste a bit and then you feel obliged to buy that product. And I love it. Every time the formula milk, they'll make my kids try and they'll reject. They're like, hey, this milk is very good. Then I turn to them and I say, I breastfeed. Then they keep quiet. So that is why they do that. But the thing about our local food testing is very pathetic, right? Because they give you a pinch of this and a few drops of whatever, coffee, tea, and then you have to drink and you go. Nice, huh? Don't know. Take another cup. It's so pathetic, you cannot feel anything. Or a pinch of that chicken nugget, and then you eat, and then you're trying to taste same, huh? Same like that brand, huh? Not so sure. Because it's so puny. You know what I mean? Huh? They cut until so small. Have you been to our local, I'm so ashamed to tell you, but our local supermarkets are like that. And you taste almost nothing. When I was in overseas, they give you one cup smoothie. I'm like, wow. Food testing, one cup of smoothie. Sushi bar in Brisbane. Remember, Andrew? It's like one whole piece of sushi. Ooh, you Malaysian. Typical kiasu Malaysian. You probably stand there and just finish up all. And then you eat, and then you really taste it, and then you can decide if you want to buy or not. Now, we can't be like the Malaysian kind of food testing where we binge a bit or a puny extract of God's word and then think that we can taste the goodness of it. Are you with me? Read one verse for 1 week. Don't read anymore. And then you try to get the best of it. You must have sufficient volume or a piece of portion for you to really have a real taste and enjoy biting into that piece of succulent meat. And then you can decide it's juicy and you want to buy it. Or a sample of volume that you drink and then you want more. It's not a sip, but volume. That you have to stick your tongue out, you know? Ours is that. You have to stick your tongue out and lick and try to get the goodness, and you can't. Likewise, we need to consume sufficient amount of His Word and His presence along with the daily experiences in life to taste God and His goodness. Do not even despise bitter experiences. Because when we endure it, we will be blown away by the sweetness of God coming into the picture. He will give us the ultimate divine sweetness. Just like bitter gourd. If you think it's bitter, there are some bitter gourd very bitter. And normally we wash it with salt before we eat it or stir fry it. But this one, I purposely did not want to wash with salt. But turn out, it must be God because it's been anointed. Turn out that it is actually not bitter. But God used bitter experiences to grow us, to deepen our faith, to let us experience what it means to taste and see the goodness of God and the power of His Word. So that in this case, we can testify the vast comparison of what is bitter and what is sweet. You can't compare if there is no comparison object for you to compare. We will finally understand the meaning of the sweetness because we have tasted. Because we have tasted the goodness of it. taste and see also indicate that the taste experience precede the illumination. Before I say yes, first you see and then you want to taste. But in this verse, I believe when it says taste and see is when you taste and see and that thing becomes illuminated, means light come in. And then there's a light bulb. After we taste and then we suddenly say, yeah, I got it. I got it. I know. I've seen it. Because that truth is being internalized. Do you get it? You look at me, so do you get it? That when you taste, suddenly everything illuminates and then it's like, ding, I got it. Yes. Taste and see. But in order to enjoy the feast, we need something. When I was praying for today, God, I said, God, give me a word for the church again this week. What about taste? Because there's so many angles that we can approach on taste. And the Lord says, change your taste bud. Change your taste bud. So basically, my message today is three F's. If you follow me, we will summarize in one sentence in three F's. In order to enjoy the feast, we need to, second F, fast. We need to fast until third F, form good habits. And then develop and stay on it. So that we create the appetite for God and His word and presence. Are you with me, people? Change your taste bud. Change your taste bud. The problem is, how hungry are we for God and the deep things of God? Don't have to raise your hand. You ask yourself, how hungry am I for God, His word, His presence, and the deep things of God? How desperate am I? Because if you are hungry, you will eat. Jason, walk in and we will have a little snack outside. And then he said, I'm hungry. I didn't eat lunch. He did not know the feast in here. And so I said, does it mean that if I feed you vegetable now, you will eat? He says, if I'm hungry, I would. So maybe I should ask your mom, since I'm very good friend with her, to remove everything else from your fridge except vegetable. Because you will eat. You're hungry. And that's why God has to remove a lot of things in our lives so that we will hunger after Him. So don't despise your low moments and your bitter experience and your losses and your suffering and your trials and your challenges. Because what God is doing, He's not putting that in, but He's allowing all this to happen so that we are emptied and we are hungry. Because when we are full with secular things and rubbish, we will not hunger for God. We take for granted what's given to us. I've contemplated today, but because of budget and fasting, I didn't do, is to have another table of KFC and McDonald's. And then I want to see what happened. That was my original idea. But I don't have enough cash and we're fasting, so I have to remove that table. I know some of you boys are like, oh man, oh man. How hungry are we? How hungry are we? You got to fast until something happens in your spirit and my spirit so that we say, God, I want nothing else but you and your word because I want to taste and see and know that you are good. When you're filled up with junks, you cannot taste God, God's goodness. I give you one illustration. Before I say that, remember this. If you can't fast, you got the thing in a radical move. What is it in my life that I need to remove? The temptations, the distraction. Think about it. What are the temptations and the distraction in my life that I need to remove so that I can feel my hunger for the feast with the feast of God? What are the things in my life that takes priority over indulging in God's presence? In worship. In word. What is it that is taking up my time? Instead of indulging in this, I'm indulging in other things. In my own experience, many, many years ago, when I first knew the Lord, in the early days of knowing God, I came to a point, a radical action, that I need to take a radical action. I was a young adult. I just started my nursing course. And sometimes I can go to church, sometimes I cannot because of my shift. But I was just telling some of the people who gather at my house to pray that in our church culture then, it was not an option that you come to church or an option for you to come for prayer meeting. It is the culture that if you are a Christian, you are expected to be in church to meet God and His people, and you're expected to be in church to pray. Unless you're so sick and you cannot drag yourself out of bed or emergency. So it was an unsaid culture. Nobody like, oh, I think I cannot go to church because, and all these excuses. So we don't even skip church when we are sick unless we cannot pull ourselves out from bed. That was the culture that we grew up in. And I didn't even come from a Christian home, but that was the church culture. Everybody just understood it. And so, my radical action was to destroy all my cassettes. Those days are cassette. Now it's so easy, yeah? From Walkman, and then you have MP3, and then you have, now no need, I just turn. Then you go in YouTube and da-da-da-da. You have so many things to feel, it's so easy. And so we were into cassettes then. And so I decided one day to destroy all. Do I need to destroy? I don't need to. I can go and give it away. I can keep it. Maybe I'll use it someday. But I came to a point where I felt like if I don't destroy this cassette, I will reach out for them. And these are all Hong Kong pop songs. And I'm not even Chinese educated, but I just love Hong Kong pop songs. They give you a kind of emo feel, you know. So after work, after a tiring day from the hospital, I come back, I want to unwind and recharge. I will not worship God as a young Christian. I confine my little 15 minutes quiet time to just before I sleep. And sometimes I fall asleep in my quiet time. And so when I come back, I don't reach out for God. I'm tired. I need to de-stress. I reach out for my cassettes of Hong Kong pop songs. Or I grew up in a culture, in a home where my dad and my mom listened to Cliff Richard and Elvis Presley and the Beatles. And I loved their songs, especially Cliff Richard. So I was so old school, you know. Even though it was past my time. But because I was listening from my parents' time when I was little, I just enjoy. And so those are the songs that I listened to. I just enjoy it. Then I came to realize that they don't feed my spirit. They don't feed my spirit. They are so emo. Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain. It's like, I love rain. But every time I sing that song, it makes me like so emo. Like everything is gloomy and dark. Like there's no more. Like it's okay. Just continue to be gloomy and dark. And so I say, God, I will destroy all these cassettes, except my parents' cassettes. I'll destroy what I bought. I will destroy it. Is it painful? Yes. Because, you know, cassette, you got to pull it. You pull out, and you actually see it pulling out, like, gone, gone. There's no return. Why? Because I didn't want it to fill me when I need to unwind at the end of my day. So instead of reaching out to God, I reach out for these songs to lift me up so that I feel good. And I know that at that point, I was convicted as a young adult. I was probably 22. Probably 21, 22. I said, that's it. I make this deliberate choice. So I have conflicting responses. I have a youth leader say, you don't need to do that. You know, just commit your life to God and get started. And I have one who say, if you think this is really prevent you from advancing, then do what you feel like you need to do. And so I came to a conviction that I need to destroy. And so I did it, and then I reached out for worship cassettes. Unfortunately, I didn't even have one that I own. And those times, we don't listen to Hillsong, Gateway, Battle, Planet Shakers. We listen to Integrity and Hosanna. And they are beautiful, powerful songs as well. Old school, you see. And so I turned to my boyfriend, Dan, Edward. I said, I need to borrow your cassette. And he has sets of Hosanna. Like, I still have it at home. Like, one whole box, full set. And so I kept that set. And every time I come back, I will put on the song and I'll worship God. And I'll worship God. And I'll worship God. And I'll worship God. And there was a deliberate choice. Until encounter happened. Is it overnight? No. But it is a choice. Until encounter happened, my spirit man was filled with his spirit. I tasted his goodness and I grew. And I never listened to a single secular song until many, many years later. Why? Because I wanted my life to be founded on Jesus Christ and nothing else. I want my life to be filled with his spirit and nothing else. I want my songs to be worship and praise and thanksgiving songs and nothing else. And so, I don't know how long, but it went on until that habit was formed. Until it was a developed habit. That it becomes natural that when I come back, I reach out for God. Then I knew who I am in Christ. I know His will for me. I know what satisfied my hunger and my thirst. It was a long season of just desiring Him. And I grab hold and devour every book that I can get on spiritual intimacy. Every tips that I can get on to prayer and connecting with God. Until one day, the Lord spoke from His word. It says in Luke, I will be your ultimate teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you in all things. That was the refining moment, the defining moment for me. A refining and a defining moment for me because He was my ultimate teacher. Instead of running to everybody else, yes, I still do, to all my leaders to get counsel, to all the books to get all the tips, but He was my ultimate teacher, the Holy Spirit. He's the first one I seek when I need an answer. He's the first one I say when I'm down. He's the first one I say, thank you, praise you, Jesus, when things are going on right. And so I can't remember, probably 2-3 years. It was a long season. But I knew that by the time I hit the 5th year with my walk in God, suddenly I hit a massive explosion in my faith. It just boom. It was like, and just boom, at the 5th year, and my faith just took me to the next level instantly. Am I there yet? No, absolutely not. Because that was just a launching pad. It launched me out to taste God even more. And because I have tasted Him and seen the goodness of the Lord in that season of desiring and hungering, I say, Lord Jesus, I just need you more. I need you more. And because I didn't look into the secular songs to fill me or secular dance to fill me, because I used to go to the discotheque when I was a teenager. I love to dance. Healthy dancing. We don't drink. We don't do hanky-panky, like I said many times. We just love to dance. But it was empty. And so the secular songs and the secular dance was out of my life for that season. And so the appetite has been killed. It's chopped off. So now I can hear a secular song. I can watch a good dance. But it doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't feel me. Are you with me? It's the same with every other hobby, recreation, or whatever that you indulge in. That if you put a stop and kill it, you will not crave for it, but you will crave for God. And then only you can taste God. And so I form a good habit. I develop a new taste for God. my taste bud change. People say it takes 21 days to develop a habit. Is it true? True? You Google 21 days if you do this fitness program, guarantee you'll be fit and you'll stay on it. 21 days if you eat this healthy recipe, you will form a habit. 21 days if you stop biting your nail, you won't. Is it true? Or is it a myth? Some people say it's true, some people say it's a myth, but I do think that every one of us are very different, and so it takes different amount of time to form a habit. And depending on what habit you're forming, if it's an easy habit, say like, you need to drink a cup of morning water, have you heard? Get up, drink your morning water, flush it out until you pee, then only you take your breakfast. Then you will be healthy. That is tip number one of staying healthy. Drink your morning water. Doesn't mean it's one glass. Every one of us, some of us need two, some of us three. Drink until you pee out all the toxin. Then you take your breakfast. So maybe that is easier, drinking water. Well, some of you are so like looking at me squinting already, 21 days. But if you're a meat lover and you want to change your lifestyle to these 21 days, I think for most of you, very susah. So it really depends on the person and the habit. And so more determined you are, naturally, you'll be more persistent to have a positive change, right? So however long it's going to take, you got to start somewhere. You have to start now. If you keep postponing, procrastinating, you'll never ever get started. You got to start now. And Nike say, just do it. Just do it. Just do it until you get it, like me. I did not say 21 days, I won't listen to secular songs. I won't listen to Hong Kong pop songs, no matter how I love the song. I didn't say that. I said, God, I'm going to stay away forever. So now, it's okay. I can go and listen. But because I don't crave anymore, it doesn't affect me anymore. I don't long for it. It's not like I shut my ears. Every time there's a secular song, I shut my ears. No lah, I'm not such a fanatic freak, okay? But not all secular songs are bad. There are good songs. But ultimately, what is the spirit behind the song we have together? So I can hear, it's okay with me, but because I know where is my foundation, I don't crave for them, I don't reach out for them anymore. Once you've tasted God, His love, His mercy, His joy, His grace, you will want more. You will just want more. How many of you love dragon fruit? I used to hate dragon fruit because it looks yucky. You know what's dragon fruit? You don't have that in your country, do you? It's a tropical fruit. It's excellent because any fruit or vegetable that's purple in color is packed, power packed with nutrients. So white cabbage versus purple cabbage, go for purple cabbage. Apple versus dragon fruit, dragon fruit. So the Christian doctor who advised on this healing food for my mom and Edward actually says take dragon fruit every day. And we see, or another one, beetroot. And we see the result. One day without beetroot or dragon fruit, the wound open up and start oozing. That is how powerful it is. I bought dragon fruit from this man on the roadside, and he told me one customer had very bad hemorrhoid problem. You know what's hemorrhoid? Pals. Instead of going to the doctor, he ate dragon fruit every day until his hemorrhoid got healed. That is the power of fruits. I used to hate it. Pastor Edward loves it. Every time he eats it, I say, yee, it looks so terrible. It's like, you know, like all these things coming out, and then when you chop it, and then it's like the color is so, ugh. And then it's stained, and then you have this BGBG, these black dots. So the look of it, you see, I was very judgy. The look of it already tells me, no, just like all of you here. Look at me, shake your head already. So I didn't. Until one day, in a pastor's retreat, in a hotel, every day they serve dragon fruit because it was next to the dragon fruit farm. And I'm like, I got to try this, right? I got to try this. Every day at the banquet table, because it's a 8-star hotel. I'm like, I have to eat this. I have to eat at least once. And I got hooked on it because it's so good. And so now, without dragon fruit in the house, we just feel very empty. The kids love dragon fruit. They open like, something is very wrong with our fridge. I say, I also think there's something very wrong. What is wrong, huh? Until we go out and then we go grocery. Ha! It's dragon fruit! We haven't been having dragon fruit in our fridge for a long time. You see? So you got to start it. Then you will want more. Psalm 23 verse 5, the psalmist says that God prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God prepared a table, and table is equivalent to feast. And where there is a feast, you need to use your taste buds. And you have a choice when you come to the table to choose what you eat. Right? And it says that God prepared the table for me. In the presence of my enemies. That means to say that we can enjoy whatever the God is giving us, with even with our enemies and foe looking at us, accusing us, we can still enjoy securely in His presence. And He says that with joy, with oil of gladness and joy, and my cup overflow. That talks about abundance. Oil represent healing. Oil represent joy and gladness. I didn't put cup here because I didn't want it to overflow and the floor, I'll be in trouble. So, just bear in mind, okay? There's a cup here, imaginary cup. You know our taste buds? We have 5,000 to 10,000 taste buds located in our tongue. Okay, look at each other's tongue. These visible bumps on your tongue, some of you never clean your tongue properly, yeah? Cleaning tongue is very important, you know, because if not, you get all sorts of infection. And it can be as bad as going up to your brain. Yes, cleaning tongue is very important because all kinds of infection comes from here. Visible bumps, those are papillas. And each taste bud has 50 to 100 taste receptor cells. And the brain cells called neuron that transmit information to the brain. So what you taste, we won't go into that. You know, right? In science, which part of your tongue you will taste more? Salty, sour, sweet, bitter. Where's the bitter one? Right at the back. So you're silly if you're taking medicine and you think that by putting the tablet right at the back, you know, then it'll be easier. That's when you taste the bitterness of the pill. So understand your tongue. We can lose our taste buds permanently caused by infection and illnesses. When you're sick, some of you are sick, you lose appetite. You eat, you taste like your food tastes so bland and plain and dull and eh, right? Because it affects your taste bud. So if you prolong illnesses, it can cause this taste bud to be dead. And that means that it causes a block in your nerve pathway to your brain. And you cannot taste anything and you cannot tell. And we talked about the nervous system a little bit last week, right? So in boiler, I was telling you about my experience, my tooth and the nerve. And just this week, you see, God is just very cool. I don't need to coin up all this curriculum, but happened in my homeschooling. We were reading on nerve with Ashton, and it says that our body has 30 trillion nerves. True or not? Don't know. True. 30 trillion nerves. God created our body. But if one nerve pathway is blocked, our sensory system is affected. We talked about spiritual numbness last week. And we don't want that our taste bud to be lost or dull. Because when that happens in our spirit, we cannot taste that the Lord is good. Are you with me? So some application here. Same with our spiritual taste bud. What are the acquired tastes in your life that you need to discard before you can taste God? What have you been tasting that seems better than God? You need to discard that before you can taste God. Is there any spiritual illnesses that block us from tasting God? We need to ask God for healing. Do we have blocked nervous pathway in our spirit? And if we are well and good and tasting God or have been tasting God, wouldn't you want more? I want more. I can't get enough of Him. I want more. So if you're in a good place, you will want more. But if any of these are affecting you, you got to do something about it. And so I want to take us through another experience of tasting God. And I want this to be an encounter for you, very personal. As you talk to God, what are the things that needs to be discarded so that you can acquire a new taste for our living God? A new taste for His Word that's everlasting. His Word, it says Hebrews in chapter 4, Hebrews, it says that His Word is powerful. It's sharp. It's active. It's like a double-edged sword. It pierces through every bone and marrow. Means that it pierces right in through. So if God's Word is good and it can pierce right into the core of our spirit, think about that. Isn't that powerful? Means that you can ask healing in His name and let that word pierce right into the core of your spirit. And you speak with positive declaration that you will be healed in Jesus' name. If you're hopeless, you call upon the name of God and upon the word that you confess. You call in and believing that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It should pierce right into your spirit to give you hope. Even in the most darkest moment. And I can tell you that it is true because I've tasted that. Some of you say, I cannot. I read the word of God, I fall asleep. I know because I've been through that. But that talks about the spiritual dullness in our mind that we have to ask why. Why are we spiritually dull? Why when we read the Bible, we fall asleep? Then we need to ask God to help us. I used to come back from work. After the secular song season, I used to come back from work. Instead of listening to songs for a short while, I was watching Hong Kong series. Some of you laugh, right? Hong Kong series is equivalent to like Desperate Housewives and Friends. It's never ending. But because you watched episode 1, you come back, you want to watch episode 2, right? And those days, we don't have so many in our TV channel. And so my parents will have to get this video cassette from downstairs where we stay in the flats. And says, normally they give you like 1 week rental. So if I have no time to watch, Scarly, I have to watch a few episodes at one go. You know, sit down and watch because you need to catch up, right? And then I came to a point, I said, this is not good because it's taking up my time. And when you fill your mind with junk, you cannot, the word of God cannot go through because we are dull up here. Not that the word is dull. We are dull. And so when I got married, so I slowly cut that off. I knew where I was heading. I slowly cut that off. But when I got married, I was so busy raising kids. I have no time, absolutely no time for any sort of this junk or even TV. I'm not a natural person who on the TV and watch, no. But if I follow a series like this, I would want to finish, right? So it was a natural thing that I forego all that. And every moment, because I was so, so busy raising children, I came to a point I knew that every moment that I can have, I must have it with God. I must have it with God. And that became another habit. That every moment free, the first thing I think is, hey, I got to do this with God first before I settle all other things. I form another habit. So I want us to, in this time, think through what are these things in your life that you need to discard or ask God for grace. That if I cannot read your word, I fall asleep. Is it because you're listening to rubbish? We're watching rubbish? We are wasting time on computer, internet, I don't know. only you know. But if you are spending more time on one thing than God, then something is very wrong. And that's why we cannot read the word. And that's why we cannot stay engaged. And then we say we can't taste that God is good. Or we just taste a little bit. It's not good enough. You got to taste. You got to do. Not. You got to do. Yes, you got to. It's between you and God. I want us to partake of the Holy Communion right now. And Jesus said that if you don't partake in my flesh and my blood, you have no part in me. And the Holy Communion is a very sacred moment. It is remembering what God has done on the cross, that his broken body and his shed blood that give us the remission of sin and power of living. That when we partake of the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion, we have to discern that bread as the flesh of Christ. And when we say, God, I partake in your body and the wine as, your blood, what basically are we saying? We're telling him that I will partake in your glory as well as in your suffering. It's a package. Some of us may be listening to all kinds of grace and prosperity messages that tells you that if you are a Christian, there's no suffering. You got to read the whole counsel of the book here to understand that partaking in Christ's body means it's a package. Yes, we will have a glorious ending and we will enjoy the blessing of God on earth, but it does also mean just as Christ suffered, we will also go through suffering. But in that journey of suffering, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's when his grace comes in your suffering moment, you will understand that God have tasted and see that you are good. You are sweet. Thank you, Jesus. I'm feeling his tangible presence right here. His manifestation of his presence. Receive it. Let's serve the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to play a song by Chris Tomlin called The Table. And I'd like you to enjoy this sacred moment with God yourself. And you speak to him. You speak to him. You tell him, Lord, I want to taste you like never before. I want to taste you like never before. I want to taste you. That passage that we read in Luke that we don't have time to go in, that banquet was extended to different people. But who were the people who came? Now the Lord will not despise whoever that wants to come to his table. It's only you or I who is willing. He says, come. Come to the table. Maybe next time we will go deep into that banquet parable. But some refused to come because they gave excuses. I just got married. This is what Pastor Ed always tell married couples. The next day, after your wedding, make sure you are present in church. All wedding couple, we will tell them, don't tell us that you cannot come to church after your wedding. You have to come to church. Of course, not everybody listen to that counsel. But don't give excuses like that. I just got married. I have to tend to my business. I have this. I have that. Just come. Can we serve the Holy Communion? Where are my people? Take it up. I'll ask Andrew to lead us in this time of prayer. And as the emblem is being passed, I want you to look at it and you pray to God yourself. Help us, Lord, to fast until, Lord, a habit is formed in us to develop a good habit to just crave for you and you alone above all else until Christ is formed in us, Lord, so that you may be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.